And so on this Sunday, my brothers and sisters, I first of all want to express a gratitude on behalf of our community around this Easter celebration. We had a pretty extraordinary Holy Week and Easter and Lent, actually. We had Michael Fish for we had like a mission or retreat during Lent, and he packed the church every night with great people, you who came and reflected together on the great spirit of the Camaldolese monks. It was an extraordinary visit and a great part of this community. And then to go right into this entire week, Easter, Holy Week and Easter, and to see the thousands of people in our three places, our gym, our pavilion, and here in our church, was a pretty extraordinary moment for us. And on last Sunday night, that church was jammed out the door and out onto the street. I thought there would be nobody left in Santa Monica to come to church, but there they were. And it was pretty extraordinary. So I'm grateful to you, grateful for your friendship, grateful for the hospitality that you have shared with people who come just a few times in the year, and very, very grateful to God for the grace and gift and blessing. I was thinking about that in relationship to that first reading from Acts today. They had about 120 people in the very beginning of our church. And somehow, in the breaking of the bread, in the breaking of the Eucharist, in the great word that was given to them, in the wonderful blessing that was given to them, in the power of Jesus Christ, that grew over these many centuries to now 1 billion people. So it's pretty extraordinary to see the growth and the change, the great moments in our church, and some of the great struggles and difficulties and mistakes of our church. And so on this Sunday, the end of this octave time of Easter, we celebrate what is called Divine Mercy Sunday. There's a nice little plaque that we had, a larger one out this morning, but I don't know what happened to it, I guess. People have taken it away, but this is a smaller plaque of that great mercy of our God. I actually don't know why we just picked this Sunday for Divine Mercy, because every week at St. Monica's is Divine Mercy Sunday. We all receive the mercy of our God because we're all sinners and we're all in need of that mercy. But on a special day, we dedicate our time and energy and prayer to that. And then in Rome at 1 o'clock this morning, our time, Dan Howes, who was full of energy tonight, I don't know where he got that energy because he had been up at that early hour, but he has a little 6-7 minute snippet of the canonization of Pope John Paul and John the 23rd. So we're going to see that at the conclusion of this little reflection tonight. Two great men who certainly lived out the mission and ministry of our church. Now, there's been some criticism. I saw lots of it in the press this week around John Paul II, the issue of women, the issue of the pedophile, mistakes he probably made in his pontificate all through those many 27, 28 years. But that isn't holiness. Holiness is taking the struggles and difficulties and mistakes of our life, holding them up, allowing God to bless them, and to grow then from the mistakes that we make. And so we've got two imperfect saints, John the 23rd and John Paul, who are given to us tonight as a blessing and as a source of some vitality in life. The thing that I saw today and thought about today is that Pope Benedict, before he had resigned, had decided that John Paul II was to be made a saint on this day. But when Francis came into office, he wasn't stuck with it. I think he probably agreed with it. But he added John the 23rd. What I see Francis doing over and over and over again daily in our church is that he adds always amidst whatever is the teaching, the pastoral image, the pastoral support of our life of faith. It's not that one is separate from the other. John the 23rd was who he was, and John Paul was who he was. But in fact, while we have a very dynamic and world person in John Paul II, when you meet him, he was an interesting man. He'd come up to you and he'd greet you by the hand. He'd look like this for 1 second, and then he was right on to the next person. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of time because he met a lot of people. But he was an extraordinary and dynamic person. But John the 23rd, most of you wouldn't know him because he was in the early 50s before you were born, and 60s. But he was an extraordinary man of pastoral love and care for people. And so the combination that is the unique gift, I think, of Francis, trying to combine a church that's, you know, divided in many ways, to bring those two forces together, the great compassionate person along with the great teachings of our church, is, I think, what we saw and you'll see today. And I think it's a beautiful gift that Francis is giving to our church. You know I love him, and so I hold him up today to you as a sign of goodness. I just would end before this little piece that we're going to see on our screen today of the canonization with a little story. It's the story of John Paul. And as you know, he was a vigorous man, a great athlete, and a brilliant man. And he was out on a spring day greeting all of the thousands of people in the square. And one of the people came up with a gun and literally shot him in the stomach and almost killed John Paul II. He was very near death. And some months later, in Time magazine, there was a beautiful image of John Paul and this person who had attempted to take his life. His name was Mehmet Ali Agca, and he was the person who attempted that assassination. But the scene that I love best, they were two men, John Paul in a white cassock, and this man in kind of a black turtleneck and jeans. And he was visiting him for just a moment. And what I saw, what struck me, was he took the very hand, the hand that held that gun, and literally attempted to kill him. He took his hand and he held his hand, the very hand that attempted to assassinate and to kill him. And after that brief encounter that they had in prison, John Paul came out, and of course there were reporters there, and he said, "What we talked about today must remain a secret between us. I spoke to him," John Paul said, "as a brother whom I have pardoned and who has now my complete trust." That's amazing to me, to think that in the midst of this great tragic moment, that he would embrace first the hand of this man. And Ali actually put his hand to his head, John Paul's hand to his head, as a sign of reconciliation and respect. So my brothers and sisters, on this great Sunday of divine mercy, hey, we're all in need of it. We all need the mercy of our God. We need it every day. But the question I think that we must ask ourselves, do we not just take that mercy? Do we give that mercy? That's the question. And I think on this day, John Paul was the man who certainly shared that with us in a very dramatic way. So let's listen to this little piece from the canonization that Dan gave us on this night. Canonized in our church. Here's Pope Francis. Divine Mercy Sunday. This, I think we call this an iconic moment, do we not, Father Tom?
Here we see once again, we've seen this a couple times in the past, when he visited Castel Gandolfo last year, and then the blessing of a fountain or a plaque in the Vatican Gardens, and once again before the eyes of the world. The present Pope embracing Pope Emeritus, two brothers, and I would dare say two friends. Most Holy Father, Holy Mother Church earnestly beseeches your Holiness to enroll Blessed John the 23rd and John Paul II among the saints, that they may be invoked as such by all the Christian faithful. Dear brothers, let us lift up our prayers to God the Father Almighty through Jesus Christ, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints, he may sustain with his grace the act which we now solemnly undertake.
We're asked to observe a moment's silence now and to contemplate, to reflect on what we just heard.
We ask you, Lord, graciously to accept the prayers of your people, that our devoted service may be pleasing to you and contribute to the growth of your church through Christ our Lord.
Amen. And the second petition follows immediately.
Most Holy Father, strengthened by unanimous prayer, Holy Church more earnestly beseeches your Holiness to enroll these, her children, among the saints. Let us then invoke the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, that he may enlighten our minds, and that Christ our Lord may not permit his church to err in a matter of such importance.
Beatissime Pater,
Most Holy Father,
Sancta Ecclesia,
Holy Church, trusting in the Lord's promise to send upon her the Spirit of Truth, who in every age keeps the supreme magisterium immune from error, most earnestly beseeches your Holiness to enroll these, her elect, among the saints.
Now the solemn moment in which the Holy Father pronounces the formula of canonization.
Ad honorem sancte et
for the honor of the Blessed Trinity, the exaltation of the Catholic faith, and the increase of the Christian life by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the holy apostles Peter and Paul, and our own, after due deliberation and frequent prayer for divine assistance, and having sought the counsel of many of our brother bishops, we declare and define Blessed John the 23rd and John Paul the 2nd be saints, and we enroll them among the saints, decreeing that they are to be venerated as such by the whole Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. There's a million people there today.
Response of this huge assembly present in Rome and throughout the world.
The applause began before the Holy Father had even finished pronouncing the formula.
It's no longer Santi subito, it's Santi adesso, saints now.
Thank you.
to the Lord, sing to the Lord. This, of course, is Psalm 32.
The Jubilate Deo.
Yes. It's very loud applause. We can almost hear it from where we are here inside the basilica.
And this is the moment when the relics are placed on the altar.
It's a wonderful moment, this beautiful tradition of the church, that the body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is sacred. And to preserve the memory of these saints, when possible, we have a part of them that still remains with us, their soul certainly with God. But we revere and venerate these relics. For Pope John the 23rd, the relic is a small piece of his skin that was removed from the body at the time the body was exhumed in 2000 for the beatification. And for Pope John Paul II, a vial of blood, of his own blood.
And that's the same vial that we saw for the beatification.
That's correct. And the reliquaries that are presented today were made very similar. They're almost the same. And they'll be brought forward, in the case of Pope John the 23rd, by four or five of his nieces and nephews and the mayor of Sotto il Monte, this little village outside of Bergamo, his hometown. And for Pope John Paul II, we have the relic being presented by Floribet, the young woman from Costa Rica, who was the miracle. She had the miracle for his canonization. One of the intercessions will be read by Sister Marie Simone Pierre from France, who was the miracle for his beatification. That, the relic of Pope John the 23rd.
To describe the reliquaries, they're crafted from silver. They're rather a modern design, almost like a small monstrance.
Here we see Floribet from Costa Rica and her husband.
So there you are, folks. That was a little slice of that today. Thank you, Dan, very much. So we continue our journey here at St. Monica's in prayer and support of Francis, our Pope, and all of the people that serve across this world in so many ministries that do so much good for the growth and care of God's great people. And so we stand together in prayer and support and love for them today.